Good now and then to walk down memory lane, doesn't it? Remembering everything that God has done and that we're not getting any younger. Amen. Well, it's okay. As we get older, we age in God's grace. Amen. Just, I was digging through pictures this week and I couldn't resist bringing some pictures out from the first 5 years of Living Well Church. Doesn't seem not like that long ago, does it? We were all young back then. Isn't it something how fast time goes? Our district superintendent will be coming very soon. I was thinking about, because of the way the road's going to be tore up out here, about rescheduling. He's scheduled for August 10th, but they're going to tear that road up, aren't they? And that's okay. We may still have him there, but I thought about having a dialogue with the district office to see if we could move his visit for a little later. But if that doesn't work, plan on August 10th for our district superintendent coming. Be his first time with us, and that morning he'll be preaching from God's Word and also be giving out our charter membership certificates as charter members of Living Well Church. Great things in store. Jeanette's going to share a little bit later in the service about Connect, Living Well Connect for the fall. And so after the sermon today, she'll be sharing just for about 30 seconds, 45 seconds or so about Living Well Connect. And what you saw on the screen, I'm still amazed at, aren't you, that we would pick up everything we own, put it in a trailer, and have Vacation Bible School with lights, projectors, music, everything in the park. And it took all of us, didn't it? It took the entire team of Living Well attendees to do that. And Connect Living Well is going to be like that this fall. And literally, it will take all of us, or we won't be able to do it. It's that big. And so I want to invite you to begin to pray about beginning August 20th, which is a Wednesday night, will be a soft launch of Living Well Connect, which will include Celebrate Recovery. And we'll also have children and youth ministries as well as adult groups. And I want to invite you to pray about that because as a church, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to offer a service of great need in the community. And Living Well Connect, hosting Celebrate Recovery. As you may or may not know, Celebrate Recovery is a well-known program for all of us. We're all recovering from something, amen. We're all in process. And that program has been used and utilized in churches and communities for, I'm guessing, over 20 years. We led the program over 10 years ago at Pekin First Church of the Nazarene and Canton First Nazarene, and it was amazing how God moved. If you would like to be a part of that, as well as the broader picture of Living Well Connect, please begin to pray and talk to Jeanette about where you can plug in. It really will take all of us, but it really will be worth it. Amen? And it's Wednesday nights. August 20th will be a soft launch. August 27th will be kind of a public presentation, but it is going to take time to build steam. We're going to be giving invitations to agencies like Lutheran Social Services, Senesipi, YWCA, who will already be familiar with Celebrate Recovery and what it stands for. And wouldn't it be awesome to host some new folks in our midst and be able to share the good news that Jesus brings help and healing in every area of life? Amen? Amen. At this time, our kids ages 1st through 5th grade may be dismissed for Children's Church with Miss Jennifer. And she is headed out this way. Okay, be sure you're behind Miss Jennifer, so she's leading. And I know Jennifer. I know that that she drives a hard bargain, and you'll want to listen to what she's got to say today and participate. Otherwise, it could just be more fun to sit with our parents. You know what I'm saying? All right. Michael Breeson was a new father, and he was not about to let his wife's first Mother's Day pass uncelebrated. But she was a nurse, and on that particular Sunday was working at the local hospital, and they weren't able to celebrate together at home. So Michael plunked his new son, Jason, in the baby carrier and drove to the hospital. And in front of all the patients and co-workers, he surprised Miriam, his wife, with candy and flowers and balloons that said, "World's Greatest Mom." It was a great Mother's Day. But after celebrating, it was time for Miriam to go back to work and Jason and Michael to go back home. Michael gathered all the things that had been part of the celebration, the candy, the flowers, the balloons. It wasn't as much fun gathering them this time as it was the first time, but he got them all in the car. He begrudgingly tossed the candy in the front seat, got the flowers arranged on the floor where they wouldn't tip over. He pulled the balloons in out of the wind and got everything arranged, and he headed home. On the way home, people were honking their horns at him and flashing their lights. He didn't realize what was going on until he hit 55 miles an hour on the highway, and he heard a loud scraping noise go down the roof, followed by a loud thump. He watched in horror in the rearview mirror as the baby carrier bounced off the trunk into the highway and began to slide along beside the car. Michael screeched to a halt. He ran down the highway to the baby carrier. Jason was okay. As the waves of guilt and fear and relief began to wash over him, Michael fell on the highway and sobbed uncontrollably, which didn't stop a passing local policeman from writing him up, nor the local paper from writing a story about him. A reporter interviewed Miriam, who showed amazing understanding. She said, "That's not like my husband at all. He really is a good father." While there's part of us that says, "How could he do that?" there's another part of us that says, "Thank God it wasn't me, because I could do that." We can relate to Michael. We recognize all the mistakes that we've made, the dumb things we've done, born out of hurry or frustration or distraction. And we know there's enough Michael in all of us that we could be guilty of such things too. Friends, we're human. Today is number 4 in our Supernova series, and it's called Outshining the Galaxy. I'd like to thank Tim Bond for his sermon, There's No Condemnation, the original version of which can be found on sermoncentral.com. I've adapted the sermon to fit our purposes here this morning. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11 this morning. I'd also like to thank Pastor Nathan for helping us with the illustrative beauty of the celestial bodies, the supernova, the black hole, and white dwarfs, and all those great things that we're drawing some parallels from in our spiritual walk this morning. Therefore, Paul says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature does and desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Amen? The sinful mind is hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray together. Draw our eyes, Lord, toward your grace, power, forgiveness, and ability to do what is even beyond our imagination in and through us. Lord, break our will as we wrestle with thinking about how strong we are in connection with vices that are all around us, and help us to put our trust only in your grace and realize that we're all recovering from thought patterns, habits, vices that you've already broken. So Lord, as we come to you today, we say yes to your Spirit, and we welcome your power in our lives. And Lord, we receive your grace, which is always sufficient. Apply it to our humanness and apply it to our sin. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that none of us would boast. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we wrestled last week with Paul, didn't we? He just laid it out there. He used a illustration to help us understand that we're all human and Paul's human. You remember Paul saying, I find myself doing the very things I don't want to do, and the very things that I should be doing, I'm not doing. The very things I know I shouldn't do, I do. What a wretched man I am. And in that strong, I think it's one of the greatest in all of literature, description of the nature of being human and the nature of struggling with the sinful nature that we're born with, Paul says, I know that struggle. And for all humanity, he uses that seventh chapter of Romans to say, what wretched creatures we are. But then chapter 8 turns the page, and he helps us understand that we don't have to stay in that wretched state. Amen? God's grace is sufficient for all of our needs. So Paul opens chapter 8 with saying, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he ends chapter 7 with, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this terrible situation? Jesus Christ. the significance of the fact that in spite of all of our mistakes and failures, I want everybody to hear this morning, no matter what all's running through your mind, hear this today. This is good news. God doesn't condemn us. Can y'all hear me all the way back? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means that our past is forgiven. Amen? It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul states in chapter 7 that those who are under sin are like prisoners, already sentenced to death. And we talked last week about the black hole of sin. Bill talked about it this morning in the cycle of addiction. As the celestial bodies circle that black hole, there is a point called the event horizon where there is no escape from this gravitational pull of the black hole. And once we're caught in it, there's not a force in all of creation that can cause us to escape. Only divine intervention. Grab us, lift us out, and set our feet on a solid rock again. So is the cycle of addiction, and so is the cycle of sin. What makes it so powerful, as Paul describes the struggle that we have with the sinful nature, is that this Paul, this bigger-than-life apostle in our eyes, had experienced the same things. He knew what it was to struggle with the old man. On Thursday, Jeanette traveled to Pontiac's maximum security prison and for training this week in her work, and her experience was quite sobering. Inmates kept in ankle cuffs and handcuffs at all times. I don't know if you know the story of the Pontiac prison, but up until 1996, it was ran by gangs. During the tour, she said they told her to look at the wall, and there were numbers on the wall, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they said, "Do you know what those numbers stand for?" "No," they said. "Those numbers stand for where there were phones on the walls, and you had to pay a gang member to use a phone. Each phone was owned and operated by a gang member or a gang." One inmate slipped in and made a phone call without paying off the leader of the gang that owned that phone. The next day, he was found dead with his head bashed in. It wasn't long after that that a prisoner grabbed a hold of a guard and was going to shank him, that a guard in the watchtower fired on the prisoner and killed him. And the chant after that was 3 for 1, 3 for 1, and it became very ugly and a very dangerous place to be. Inmates kept in ankle cuffs now. The place is almost completely locked down all the time. There's no denying that there is gang activity happening. The guards in the watchtowers make sure that as they're moving prisoners, that prisoners from rival gangs do not see each other. So there's a housing unit over here and a housing unit over there, and the guards are watching so as to move the prisoners without them having the ability to see each other. On a slab of concrete about half the size of a basketball court are a series of cages. They're about 4 by 4, roughly 5 by 5. On concrete, in the sun, 1 hour a day. This is recreation time. Chained hand and foot. There, inmates occasionally reduce themselves to urinating and throwing feces at each other. This is the black hole of sin. Death row inmates are not allowed to work in facilities or study programs. Visits are conducted through thick glass windows with no physical contact, not even with the immediate family. Imagine losing a mother or a father or a brother or a sister to death and not being able to attend their funeral. The mental trauma is even greater than the physical. The constant threat of manipulation from other inmates to manipulate you, to intimidate you, to get power, to get something out of you that will be useful to them is overwhelming. After being wrongly convicted of murdering the owner of a cosmetology school, Juan Melendez was sentenced to death and spent over 17 years, almost one-third of his life, on death row. During that time, Melendez and his attorneys fought for evidence that had been suppressed or lost to finally make its way into court and win his freedom. Melendez said of his release, "I remember the day and date exactly when they recognized the evidence and released me. It was a Thursday, January 3rd. 2002. It was like my second birthday. The first thing I did was kiss the ground because all I had done for 17 years was walk on concrete." The sheer transformative power of the words, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been exonerated from your past. You're free to go." The black hole of sin, the prison of sin, Jeanette's experience of seeing 9 floors of 30 cells, 9 floors with 30 cells or approximately, she didn't stand to count. She saw 1 through 9 on the wall and a mile long of cells in Pontiac with 4 prisoners in each cell. It's like going to a human zoo. They kept the intervention team that Jeanette was on far enough away from the wall of prisoners so that they couldn't spit or urinate or throw anything at them. Such is the prison of sin. Jeanette, I was trying to remember what happened. We were hearing the story one time. I remember Jeanette and I and the kids went to a zoo, and there was a monkey there, and he was so cute. He was sitting there and pretty soon he began to pick his nose. And then he ate it. And then we heard the story about all these young children watching this ape as he was kind of just, it seemed to be apparently enjoying having the attention of all these kids. And he did something grotesque in his hand and then he threw it at him. You see what we can be reduced to? And we say it would never happen to me, Bill told the story this morning in small groups about a construction worker. Did you know him personally? Is that a yes? Okay. Worked on a job with him. Tried cocaine one time. And that day, withdrew $7,000 from his bank account and was not seen by his family for 4 days as cocaine literally took over his life. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, will cost you more than you want to pay every time. One of Jeanette's responsibilities in her job at the prison is to meet with the inmates. And in the process, she often hears their stories. And what usually starts as a minor offense against the conscience snowballs and ends in a tragic crash of conviction and prison time, away from family, friends, and present with violence, intimidation, and daily threats on your life. So how many times a week can you kick yourself for failing? I could kick myself a lot for failing. You try to be patient with the kids or your spouse or your parents, but in a flash you strike out and the words you say have done their damage before you even realize what you were doing. Whoa, I wish I could take that back. Oh, I'm sorry. You thought you had broken the grip of that nasty habit, but there was that one moment, and you listened to the whisper that told you it'll be okay just this once, and now you feel like a failure. You knew you should have steered clear, but you thought you could handle it. Before you know it, you found out the hard way that you're weaker than you thought. 1,000 times, 1,000 different ways, you've tried to live by the standards that you knew were right. But like Michael Breeson, even though you knew better, you did the wrong thing, the stupid thing. And then in addition, there are the sins committed by acts of our will in our life that we know better. The line is there, but we ran right over it. We saw the line. We had plenty of time to stop. We had plenty of time to redirect our course. But we saw the line, and for whatever reason, we felt there was some kind of payoff in it for us, and we ran right over it. And it's sin, because we knew it was wrong, but we did it anyway. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 through 8:2 says, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Paul references the struggle that is common to all human beings. We try to win on our own strength, and we get pinned to the mat. But the greatness of the promise of God's grace is that even when we fail again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you hear me all the way back? Satan would take you like Adam and Eve, and once you sin, would take you and hide you behind a bush, quivering in shame and fear. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Isn't that good news? If you're in Christ, you don't need to wonder if God is angry with you, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you have a personal relationship with Him. You don't need to fear God's wrath. because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you, He doesn't see a wretch. He sees a son or a daughter. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The boy disregarded his father, then he disgraced himself in every possible way he could think of. Dr. Vernon McGee says, "Do you know the difference between the son in the pig pen and the pig? The difference is that no pig has ever said to himself, 'I will arise and go to my father.' He's right. As we arise and go to our Father, we recognize His forgiveness and His grace. Amen? When that dirty, stinking boy came within eyesight of home, his dad was there to clean him up and throw a party. Paul wants to make sure that you understand that God is just as anxious to throw His arms around you as you are to come to Him. More so, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you why this is so important to understand, because the truth is, Satan is an accuser. Did you know that his name, Satan, in Hebrew means literally accuser? He loves to fool us into believing that we are condemned, and he loves to trap us into believing that we are so wretched that God doesn't want anything to do with us anymore. I've blown it. No. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A little while back, I heard a story about a girl who was the daughter of one of the royal families of Europe. She had a big, round nose that destroyed her beauty in the eyes of others, and especially in her own eyes. She grew up with this terrible image of herself as an ugly person. So her family had a plastic surgeon change the contour of her nose, and he did his work, and there came the moment when they took the bandages off and the girl could see what happened. When the doctor removed the bandages, he saw the operation had been a complete success. But she looked at the mirror and said, "I knew it wouldn't work." It took the doctor 6 months to convince his patient that the surgery was a tremendous success. And it was. You see, she had a hard time accepting the reality of who she was. And it took the doctor constant confirmation telling her, "You are beautiful." We are a new creation in Christ when we're saved, but sometimes we still live like the old us, don't we? Paul's encouraging the church to have faith. He's encouraging the church to have faith in Jesus' sacrifice, that His grace is all sufficient, and act accordingly. The challenge that we face is not just to say that we believe it, but to live it. Fact is, nothing that any of us could do will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:35. Could I have the worship team come on up? Romans 8:35-39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, And the list goes on and on. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Bible also says in Romans that no one is righteous, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. And absolutely we're held accountable. And we can try to withstand the power of the black hole on our own, and that pull without the divine intervention of God will continue to pull us down. But have faith this morning and recognize His grace is all sufficient for you and for me in our life. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The bad news is that everyone outside of Christ will suffer the consequences of their sin. I shudder to think, without God's divine intervention in my life, the train wrecks that I have created that He has intervened and stopped. And without Him, I'd probably be dead by now. Sucked into the black hole. But with His grace, I'm saved and I'm alive and living for Him. Amen. Isn't that good news? And all God's people said, amen. The good news is that God has made a provision for us to come into Christ. If you read Paul's epistles, you'll see he's always talking about being in Christ. If you have accepted Him as your Savior this morning, have asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you are in Christ. You recognize all of us have been created in His image. There's no reason to slither around like the old serpent in the dust, groveling, thinking I'll never have anything to offer. Lift up your eyes and recognize that in you, He loved you so much that He gave His only Son. He gave the blood of His Son. He loves you that much. It's good news. Now, let's choose. It's easy for me to say, but it's a decision that each of us must make on our own. We all must choose as to who will guide our lives. Will we live by our own standards and suffer the consequences, or will we turn our lives over to God and receive the promise? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.
Still make mistakes, but You have new mercies for me every day. You're my Joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean